Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into another episode of Leftovers Podcast. I'm Derek Grammer.
I'm Frank Arcuri.
On WGR550.com and on demand audio. Dude, playoff hockey is stupid fun.
It is.
And I think there was no better example of that than the Capitals against the Penguins, Game 5.
Yeah, that was a fun game.
It was ridiculous. I mean, you're talking about chances being traded in that first period left and right. If someone would have told me that would end it 7-6, I wouldn't have been surprised.
It's true. Yeah, no, it was a fun game. Washington, they got the lead now in the series.
Now they have to see now if they can do something with it.
Yeah, because we've seen them in this position before.
Exactly.
And never been able to get over the hump.
Yeah, but at the same time, everyone's making this big deal. Oh, what about not having Scott Wilson? Dude.
Okay.
It's
Scott Wilson.
Oh, wait, not Scott
Wilson. Not having Tom Wilson.
What do you need Tom Wilson? No, it looks like they don't.
They won 6-2. Well, I mean, two of them were empty
netters.
6-3. Yeah, 6-3.
But
two of them were empty netters. But, okay, so 4-3. They still won.
They also
without him in a crucial game 5. If they're going to Pittsburgh down 3-2 in that series, they're not coming back for a game 7.
It's doom and gloom at that point.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking at this
they
team.
Won game 5.
Yeah.
That's their biggest playoff win in how long?
In a while.
Since they beat the Sabres in 98 probably.
Awesome. Thanks. Awesome.
Sorry. But I had tell me I'm wrong.
I can't.
Exactly.
I can't
that's
go ahead
their,
and do
that. That's their biggest playoff win.
Now, my big thing is this, Frank. With Washington, this could be the first time in 10 years that they finally beat the Penguins in the playoffs. But, of course,
they haven't beat the Penguins in the playoffs in... I don't even remember the last time they beat them. It's been way too long.
Yeah.
It's been literally way too long. Like, you could probably go as far back in, like, the 90s or the 80s.
It's at least in the last 10 years, because they faced them in the last 10 years, and I think they've won once.
No.
In 10 series.
10 series. Yeah, at least once. Not 10 years.
But 10 series,
I mean, that could go back as far as like the 90s.
And their second
in
round
the 80s.
And their first and second round failures can be attributed to other teams, not just the Penguins. But
not just Pittsburgh.
No, this is a team that...
Because they lost them last 2 years. They lost to the Rangers in 15.
But now with Washington, there is another
Rangers
problem.
Rangers have been in the Caps' problems, too.
Yeah, that's right. There is one problem now for Washington.
What's that?
Nick Backstrom.
Yeah.
He was not in for the rest of that game. He did not finish it, and...
Have to wait for updates on that.
The poor Caps, they may get out of that second-round curse, and then they would be screwed without having...
Without Backstrom,
Nick Backstrom.
Without Backstrom, though, for a Game 6, yes, they got Kuznetsov, but... And Lars Eller, but they need Backstrom in the worst
When you
way.
Have Backstrom, you need Backstrom.
He is so underrated.
Yes.
He is so underrated. He's so good.
Now, can we talk about how scary Winnipeg is?
Super scary?
Yeah. They're terrifying.
Yeah.
Four four times now in five games, they've scored more than four goals in this series against Nashville, the top seed in the West.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
This should have been the West Final.
It should have been the West Final. Gary Bettman, for the love of everything that is unholy, because that's clearly what your life is, change the playoff format back.
Let's not get to
play it
into that. But
make it change. Put it back to normal.
Okay.
Good Lord, you're killing us.
But Winnipeg is scary good. Yes. Like,
how many times has Washington Pittsburgh should have been the East Final?
We know. We know this. We know this.
And now this is the same thing here with Nashville Winnipeg.
We know this. We know this.
At least in the West, Vegas is going to make itself a case to be that West finalist and well-deserved.
Yeah, okay.
Because they are just putting it on the Sharks.
Yeah.
And Winnipeg is terrifying.
Yeah.
Boston's down 3-1 in the series. That makes me happy.
I'm surprised.
I'm surprised it might be a short series. Yeah. But I'm surprised Tampa has the talent to get it done.
I'm not surprised about that.
What it is their forecheck. They're making these Bruins defensemen turn the puck over a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's making things very miserable for the Bruins defense.
Dan Girardi got the game winner.
He poke-checked it.
He literally poke-checked
it. He one-handed it in.
Yeah.
He knew it was coming to his blade, and he just like moved it with one hand. He didn't even bother putting a second hand on it. He's like, I'm going to poke this thing in there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to use the poke-check.
Mm-hmm. He
poke-checked a game-winning goal. But then, this game was back and forth. You saw Stamkos hammer that tying goal.
What a shot that was.
On a turnover, too. Kucherov forces McAvoy to spill, and then next thing you know, Steven Stamkos stops and is like, yo, I'm wide open here in the slot. Fires
amazing
the one-timer.
Shot.
Hammers that thing home.
Amazing shot.
Could you say he licked that puck into the net? Yeah, I'm going there.
Okay.
Yes, I'm going there.
Do we want to talk?
We started off with playoff hockey for a reason.
We got to talk about it.
We absolutely have to talk about why Brad Marchand decided to lick someone.
To be fair, it's better than hitting players from behind.
That's a sad case with Brad Marchand.
That's sad.
Is that we'd rather see him licking someone in the schnoz? Like, he got all up in that, man. Like, if there was, like, if the. He probably knows what Ryan Callahan ate because he got the tongue was in the whole beard. Like, ugh, dude, what are you thinking? I mean, come on.
He's licking a sweaty athlete's face. Like, come on, Brad. You should know that's disgusting. It's a sweaty hockey player.
Look, I know your nickname is Rat Face, but that does not mean that you need to lick someone else in the face. That's
trying
just
to
weird.
Spread it.
It's just weird.
It's weird.
It's weird.
The fact that we have to, the fact that NHL officials have to say, don't lick other players.
Congratulations, you made your mark
Welcome
officially.
Welcome to 2018, folks.
We've made our mark officially for Brad Marchand. His legacy forever is that you cannot lick a player.
Yeah.
Like how Sean Avery's legacy is now that you cannot wave your stick in front of a goaltender's face.
Yeah.
That is your legacy forever.
Yeah.
You licked a player.
Yeah.
I mean, you licked several players.
He did.
And, two questions I have.
He licked two players.
Two really stupid questions I have about
What's
this.
What's that?
One, how do you feel if you're Leo Komarov? A man who he has kissed on the cheek before and then licked as well in the first round of this series.
He feels like playoffs. He's been cheated on.
I know, right? Do you feel like you're cheated on if you're Leo Komarov? You'd be like, I think, because he even joked about it in the media. Did you have something special?
He feels like he's been cheated on.
He feels slighted and cheated on here.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Come on, man. I thought what we had was special. I kind of want to hear any comments that he would have to say. That would be pretty interesting. All right, ready? Second stupid question for you.
Second
Welcome to the Leftovers
question?
Podcast.
What's that?
What do you do about it? I mean, I know the easy answer is punch him in the face, but that's what he wants you to do.
Yeah.
You know, like he wants you to take a penalty for punching him in the face. And Ryan Callahan, to all of his credit, did not do that.
He's smart. Like, he's not, like, he's kind, he's been.
Like, how do you react if someone licks you in the face? Like, Do we need to do a field test?
Yeah, why don't you try it and see what happens?
I don't want to. I don't want to get punched in the face.
You're wearing a cage.
How am I going to lick someone in the face, Frank?
Just take your helmet off real quick.
Oh, then I'm going to put it back on before they have time to punch me in the face. Probably a good idea. Like, how do you react to that? This is so gross, man. Like, it's just so weird.
I don't know.
Like, he licked you in the face. He got
Do?
Like, if you see the close up, he even got inside the upper lip.
Stop.
That's so gross.
Stop. My reaction.
My first thought was, do you lick him back?
Yeah, like no, but then you might now you might get a penalty for it if they're not going to.
Well, now yes, but like when that was before this was before this was a thing. Like,
I think what's going to happen is,
do you think the rest of the game, do I lick him back? I try to fluster him that way?
I think,
because guess what? No matter what Brad Marchand does, yeah, I mean he's the pest. He's trying to be the heel and everything, but I mean, come on. If he got licked in the face, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't take it that well.
No,
nobody would.
No,
nobody would.
Okay.
I just wanted to interrupt the podcast to say, go Darlene.
Yes.
Yes.
Darlene. Well, you know what? Mike Shafari, who just stepped into the room here. Mike, what would you do if someone licked you in the face while playing hockey?
I don't know.
What would you do?
I do the licking. Nobody licks me.
There you go. Mike's the pest. There you go. We've got it.
I approve. I think anything you can do to get under the skin.
The worst part is I've been your teammate.
Yeah.
You do some of these things.
We're all teammates here.
Yeah, so.
Oh, I'm brutal. You see some of the guys I play against in front of the net sometimes.
Oh, man.
So
oh, God.
I have fun.
So there you go. Mike Jafari's the licker.
Yep.
He's the Brad Marchand.
Like,
yep.
But now, in that situation, we were talking about Brad Marchand, and what would, like, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't react that well if he got licked, even though he did it first, right?
I don't know. I don't
like, it's just so weird, man.
I don't know what I would do in that circumstance. I just don't have an answer for it.
Like,
I don't.
That's what we're doing. We're asking.
I feel pretty confident and beat him up because Frank's a big guy too, and he can
look,
help me.
Look, like we're asking the tough questions here podcast. Okay.
I don't have an answer. I don't know what I would do. I think you can take a pretty good guess knowing me what would probably
happen. Oh yeah, it just.
That said, I got hockey to go to, so I just want to stop
go.
And say hi.
Go lick a person in the lick a person in the face. We need to do some field tests.
Yeah.
See what people would do.
I'll text you updates.
Awesome.
See you, Mike.
That's Mike Jafari.
Mike Jafari,
best known for his Mike Jafari Wednesdays with the nightcap.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, like
okay,
like just what?
So
why?
Here's what I think.
Why?
I know what's gonna happen.
Why? Like what? Why would he do that?
Game five is gonna be all about.
Brad Marchand.
The lick. It's going to be all about it. So guys like Ryan Callahan, Victor Hedman, maybe even Chris Kunitz, maybe even Cedric Paquette.
I'm talking
the grinder, you know, the heavy hitters.
Well, I mean, Hedman, I wouldn't want involved in these antics.
No, but Hedman also is a bigger guy who's probably going to be going up against Marchand a lot.
That's true.
In terms of matchups.
But I'm not telling Victor Hedman to do anything more than he's been doing in the series, which is
no,
amazing.
Exactly. So what they're no, this but this is 1 minute. This is what I would tell him to do. Just do licking faces at Marchand.
We posted the poll on Twitter, Nate, Joe, and I, and one of the more obscure answers I got was fans should throw popsicles or drumstick cones at him. Because those are things that people like to lick.
Yeah.
But
lollipops too.
But why would you waste perfectly good ice cream on Brad Marchand?
Yeah.
That's my answer.
Yeah. Plus then all you're doing is delaying the game.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of just making licking faces at him.
Yeah. Just
that's all.
Stick
your tongue out.
It's in Tampa, right? No, yes, it's
in Tampa.
It is
game five.
Oh God. They might have some fun with this. Presentation wise,
the fans,
like
the ones that are up against the glass.
Not just that.
Whenever there's a face off and Marchand's in front of them,
the presentation.
Yeah, the game presentation too.
The game
yeah,
presentation
absolutely.
Team is going to have some work to do.
I'm pretty sure they've been working on it.
I hope that they found something like with Lickitung, and it just Brad Marchand's face photoshopped on it.
I showed you that picture last night.
Yes.
It was great.
I think that's the best way to go about this.
Who's and that that's Pokemon? My answer. It's Lickitung, and then it shows Brad Marchand on head on Lickitung's body.
That would be great. Good work.
What's his signature move? Lick.
Yep. See? Perfect.
And it does exactly what it's supposed to. In Pokemon, Lick paralyzes you. Lick has a chance to paralyze. Guess what? You're perplexed. You don't know what.
Yeah, I'm paralyzed.
That's pretty much being paralyzed.
I'm paralyzed.
What just happened?
I'm paralyzed.
I don't know
in thought.
What to do.
Like, yeah, like yeah. I don't, what do you what?
Exactly. So what? You're paralyzed.
Oh boy. Yeah. No. This is.
Oh my god.
It's interesting.
Oh my god.
Why the hell these things happen?
Yeah.
What is life? We're talking about a dude licking someone in the face.
Yeah.
In professional sports.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I don't know.
Is it something that we did?
Yes.
I guess so.
It's something Marchand did.
I know. But we're also talking about it.
Because it's funny.
Oh, my God.
It's so funny.
Like, I know. I know.
It's...
We had to talk about
this. It's the highlight of the playoffs.
It shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be.
That's
but
the
it
problem,
is
that it is the highlight of the playoffs because some jackass decided he needed to lick someone's face to try to draw him into a penalty.
Twice.
By the way, the thing that wasn't talked about enough was the fact that Marchand tried to undercut Callahan with one of those dangerous hip checks that he does.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, Callahan goes to talk to him about it, and his response is to lick him in the face. Look, I get trying to avoid the conversation on a probably dirty hit. I wouldn't have done that. That's a lose-lose, brother.
It is.
You're
it
licking
is.
That dude's
face.
Sweaty mustache. And we are talking about playoff beard mustache now, man.
Yep.
I mean, who knows if Callahan grows that thing the whole year round?
I think he kept it, like... good,
yeah.
Throughout the year, like so, he kept, like,
but once it's a play, but once it's a playoffs,
once the playoffs
it's over.
Start though. You just let it grow.
You
out.
Let it grow, and you let things happen. That dude may know what Callahan ate. What if he doesn't like what that was?
Knowing a guy like Callahan, he probably ate like
it's a professional
something
athlete.
Pasta.
Yeah, he's
pasta
a professional related. Athlete.
Yeah,
but
Rajan's like, oh, I had that last night.
Oh my god. Oh, my God. This is such a dumb thing. This is so dumb.
It's so dumb.
But Brad
so dumb.
But Brad Marchand is making talk of this.
Thanks, Brad.
I mean, look, I mean, we are willingly talking about it, to
yeah.
be fair.
Who isn't?
Probably some people.
No,
that have shows.
Everyone's talking about it.
Some people that have shows probably are skipping this. I don't know.
I doubt it.
The NHL probably don't want to talk about it.
Oh, absolutely the NHL doesn't want to talk
They're
about
like,
it.
They're like, Brad.
Guess what?
Stop it.
Guess what? It's still being talked about.
Some of the better quotes
I mean, social
that
media
I heard,
is just all over.
Oh, yeah,
too.
No, but like some
it's
of the
great.
Better quotes that I had. Seen. One was from Tyler Myers, actually, about this whole thing, about being licked in the face, and he said, luckily, I'm too tall for anyone to do that. Which is the best answer.
Yeah.
And...
yeah. I
mean, he's right. Who's going to do
right.
it?
He's right.
He'd have to be down on the ground,
Chara.
And you, that's just
Unless
weird.
It's Chara. And Chara ain't going to do that.
Chara ain't doing that.
Chara actually told Marchand, too, hey, you don't do that. He literally said that when they went to the bench.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I did not see that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, dude. What, it's like, why you do that?
Yeah.
Why did you lick his face?
Yeah.
Dude,
you can't do that, man.
It's just gross.
It's disgusting. You don't know where that mustache has been. It's a great topic.
This is just...
It's a great topic.
We might need to start moving on here.
You want to move on?
Yes. You know...
Let's talk about Sabres Twitter.
Uh-oh.
So.
Frank's hang on. Can I mark that was the first time that you were angry ever?
Sure.
So, hey, you brought it up. The floor is yours.
So.
What happened now?
Woke up. Took a shower this morning. Then went on Twitter. Only to see people talking about a Buffalo News article by Jerry Sullivan.
Uh-oh.
Where he pretty much was bashing the Sabres.
Okay.
And whatnot. And people were taking it. I can't read the article, obviously. So, but from what I was reading about from the other people were writing.
Well, I mean, you were talking about Sabres Twitter here, not.
This is also Sabres Twitter.
Yes.
Apparently, Jack Eichel's overrated.
Look, I'm gonna stay.
So that's why, I tweeted out, Sabres Twitter this morning and all the hot takes with a gif of somebody having to fan themselves.
Yeah. Look, that piece was meant to be incendiary. And all I'm going to say on it is this. People that watch the team day in and day out know more that is not accurate.
Yeah.
But it is meant to be a rabble rouser.
If you think, here's the thing.
If you think that Jack Eichel is overrated, then
you
just
don't know hockey.
Yeah.
No, you just don't know hockey.
I'm not going to say anything strong because this is my thing. You could watch hockey. You could know hockey. If you're not watching the Sabres day in and day out, you do not realize how important Jack Eichel is.
That's true.
He was the reason, after the trade deadline, that team was even watchable.
Yep.
Because at first it was Kane and everything like that.
The problem is people tend to only look at results.
And that is, and I don't mind that part.
I mind it because there's a difference between what's on the ice and what's the actual results. As we have talked about, the Sabres were a 62-point team this year. They are not a 62-point team. They are better than that. They show that they are better than that. It's just that things happened this year where it wasn't the case. They aren't that bad.
The defensive core was a mess.
We know this. We know they are not that bad of a team. But they were. But people are going to say, well, they are that bad because look at what they were in the standings. Look at Colorado. Are they a 48-point team from last year? No.
They made the playoffs.
They made the playoffs this year. I don't think they're a playoff team, but they were most certainly not a 48-point team.
Well, they won the last game of the season that they needed to. I guess a team that was also trying to make it to the playoffs.
Not even that.
They deserved it. They earned it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think they overachieved this year.
Look.
But are they how many points Colorado have this year? Like 96?
Yeah, it was 96 or something like that.
Okay. I don't think they're a 96-point team, but they're definitely not a 48-point team. They're probably I think they're more closely around an 88 to 90-point team that just misses out on the playoffs. I think they overachieved just a little bit this year and they were able to get in, but they underachieved massively the year before. I think the Sabres underachieved massively this year.
Yeah, you have Nathan McKinnon and Gabriel Landeskog, and you had a 48-point season.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like you had Jack Eichel and Ryan O'Reilly and Sam Reinhart and Evander Kane to start the year.
Yeah.
And you ended up with a 62-point season.
You're not that bad.
On that roster, they are not that bad. Now, here's my thing for Inc. Right now, what you're doing, though, is you're taking the bait. And that's what I'm not doing. I'm not taking
when
the bait
I see
on this.
It gets me when people only use results. When people only say, "Well, you haven't won, so you're not good." Like it's the same thing with Ovechkin. It's the same thing with Ovechkin. People don't think he's great because he's never won in the playoffs.
The man's a no doubt Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's first ballot.
Probably
he's the best goal scorer of our generation.
Maybe even of all time.
He could be
because,
of all time.
Because you know how...
Although Mike Bossy's got something to say about that.
He might, but it was a different...
Even in the era, though.
It was so wide open.
Yeah, it was so wide open.
It was wide open.
And Bossy was scoring left and right.
Yeah, but it was wide open. That's the thing. Ovechkin, in this modern era of hockey...
Yeah, exactly. Is doing almost the same thing in an era where goaltending is unbelievable. It's Yeah, exact. It's unbelievable what Ovechkin has been doing.
At the end of the day, though, results have something to do with things. And they sometimes have a big result. I mean, a big effect on what you're doing.
But to say, like, Eichel's overrated or Ovechkin's not a winner just because you haven't won in the playoffs or you haven't made the playoffs. Come on, man. You're stretched. You're really stretching it.
No, he's not.
They were saying the same things about Steve Yzerman back in the mid-90s. When the Red Wings lost to New Jersey in 95, there were talks. This is a true story. There were talks that the Red Wings should trade Steve Yzerman because he's not a winner, because he can't win.
Ready, Frank? I'm going to stop you right now.
No, and this
because,
is...
No, I'm going back to something you said.
What's that?
You said it was a stretch, right?
Yeah.
Is this a stretch if you're talking about it? He did his job.
Fair.
He did his job.
That's fair. That's fair. Look, he created a big talk. That's good because that's what... That's a columnist's job.
That's their job. Talking.
That's right. That's their job. I'm not going to doubt that. That's common.
I'm not saying
your job is to create talking points. However, you got to... Sometimes you just gotta be better at making it.
I'm not gonna go ahead. Like I said,
if someone's gonna write an article and say the Sabres are trash and Eichel's overrated, if you're gonna say like Eichel's overrated, you better have points to back it up. And using the standings is not a good point. Honestly. It's not.
It's not that it's not a good point.
It's a terrible point.
It's not even that it's a terrible point, Frank.
To me, it's a terrible point because.
And this is why
hockey is more about a team game. Well, one player does not make a team great.
Yes.
It's not about one player. It's not the NBA where one player can carry a team.
Look, I'm not getting thrown into any frenzy about this one because it really gets me. Because here's my thing. Ready? I know that Jerry Sullivan, he has to watch both of those teams very intently, the Bills and the Sabres.
Yeah.
But when one is doing far better than the other and generating your story power in the Bills, it's a lot easier, especially with how bad that season was and how unwatchable the team was at times, for him to not want to watch. And that's more than fair.
That's fair.
I'm not going to discredit it. And my thing is this. He said what he said to get people going.
Fair.
And that is his job, and I have to, and that's why I'm stepping back from this, is because I know that.
But the fact that people, and then you got people who are going to twist everything he says into what they think.
That's his job.
That's fair.
That's his job.
That's fair. I'm not going to doubt that.
He did his job.
Not going to doubt that.
He did his job, and our job, Frank, is to. You know, I'm like, well, I mean, yours. Yours is more or less that you have an opinion on this.
Yeah.
And I'm taking a different stance. And that's fine. I don't want to take a stance on this.
That's fine.
Because, again, I know the nature of it.
But it's also things like that where, I'll be honest, I have no respect for a guy like Mike Harrington. Okay? I don't like his takes. Here's my reason. One of my biggest reasons is that he says the tank failed. I don't believe the tank failed because what was
Tim Murray failed.
Tim Murray failed. Every time people try to tell him that, he says, look at the standings.
Look.
That's not an argument.
That's not an arguing point.
You can, if you were to say.
It's evidence. It's damning evidence.
It's big evidence that the rebuild, the building of this new look, Sabres failed. However, the tank was about getting a franchise player.
Yeah.
Was it not?
Now, again, I know that. And I know that is why. However, it is damning evidence. Because even the Oilers with Connor McDavid, they floundered this year, right?
Because the GM failed.
The GM did not
know how to build a team.
However, if you say anything in Edmonton right now, was that season a failure? Yes.
Yeah.
Was this season a failure?
Yeah.
Yes. And that's evidence. Even though it may be only to support a narrative, it is evidence to support said narrative. And that's the problem. If you want me to go ahead and say something about Harrington, I'll say something about Harrington. But it's not going to be about that.
It's fine. I mean, you can say whatever you want.
And it's this. We're not talking about president of hockey operations. That's a different freaking job, dude.
That is a different job.
It's literally a different job. And guess what? The Sabres don't have that. They have a general manager who they trust with all their hockey operations. His name is Jason Bottrell. Yeah. Have you met him?
I'm pretty sure he has.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
Kim Pegula is allowed to be there. This is what I can get mad about, Frank.
Okay.
Now you did it. You got me going.
Yes.
Congrats.
Woo! We did it.
Listen. Kim Pegula is one of the owners of the team.
She is.
So guess what? She has to be in charge of, by God, I hope, something, right?
Yeah.
So guess what? Her being the freaking president does not matter!
And if
I just spiked the highlighter, I got it on my hand, jackass!
And if she and if she's the president, great!
All right.
If she's the president, she obviously has done something right.
At the end of the day, the president controls the business operations.
Yes.
And guess what? Russ Brennan was the president of the hockey team. Do you think that Russ Brennan had anything to say about the freaking team and the roster and how it's built?
Especially
how well he did as a general manager for 1 year for the Bills. Yeah. I'm surprised he didn't get fired that freaking year.
Yeah.
Guess what? He got put back to doing what he was doing. Sell.
Yeah.
Tickets.
Yeah.
Money.
Yeah.
And that is what a team president is in charge of.
Yeah.
Why do you think there are jobs called president of hockey operations if a general manager or if a team sees that they... Look at the Leafs.
Brendan Shanahan.
Brendan Shanahan is the president of hockey operations, right?
Yep.
He has a general manager that answers to him, right?
Yes.
Well, not anymore.
Well, not anymore, but they're going to have one.
But I'd imagine they'll probably promote Kyle Dubas.
I would expect that, yes.
And guess what? That means that they work together as a hockey department.
Yes.
And he has an assistant general manager and everything like that.
Yep.
There are some teams that don't have that regime.
Yeah.
They have a general manager that they put their faith in and they're trusting. And the Sabres look like they have their faith and they're trusting Jason Bottrell.
Mm-hmm.
Which means, again, going back to what is pissing me off about all this in the first place, Mike Harrington, what you said was wrong about Kim Pegula. She can be the president. And I know that what you said it's nothing about her being a woman. And I hope that I never meet the jackass that thinks that. Because there is no professional, there's no professional that would ever say that at this point in Buffalo.
Yeah,
like
at least
we may disagree a lot.
At least you hope.
We may disagree a lot with what someone like Harrington says, or you know, anyone else.
Yeah,
you know, we can disagree with people.
Sure,
it's okay. I just yelled about something.
We can disagree with people who.
But I know that what Harrington meant by that was not because she's a woman. He said it in a way that kind of didn't look good. And Elliot Friedman even said on the 31 Thoughts podcast that it looked like that a little bit. And he said, I'm just going to unfollow real quick and brush that aside. Like, I'm just going to unfollow and, you know.
Right, right.
Lay low for a little bit there on that timeline.
Right.
Because, again, he had to defend what that was, and it just didn't look right. And I know he doesn't mean that. But she is allowed to be the president.
Mm-hmm.
A, it's her team. What are you going to do about it? B, it has nothing to do with the actual hockey team.
Yeah.
And why they underachieved with a roster that has Ryan O'Reilly, Sam Reinhart, Rasmus Ristolainen, Jack Eichel.
Casey Mittelstadt
now.
Rasmus Dahlin
will be there. Robin Leonard underachieved from what he was doing. Maybe he overachieved for 2 years. But Chad Johnson was a bit of a bust this year, right?
Bit of a bust, yeah.
He flopped.
Yeah.
They brought him back thinking this is a great idea. He was fantastic for us that first year.
Well, not only that, you also needed a backup.
You needed a backup, and you thought, hey, why not Chad Johnson? Well,
he was probably the best available.
But he didn't even deviate to his norm.
No, he didn't.
He played below average from what he usually plays.
Below average year as a backup, who at the time was probably the best backup goalie available in free agency.
And sometimes free agents flop, and it's okay.
It's okay.
Kyle Postel is on this roster. Kyle Postel couldn't train his original way because he had a freaking heart condition.
Yeah.
Happen.
Yeah.
Or was it a heart condition or was it? No, it was a medication problem.
It was a medication problem.
Medication
from a concussion.
Based. Yeah, medication based off of a concussion. And the medication didn't react well with him. And he had to, instead of conditioning and training the normal way that he does, he had to end up recovering from that instead.
Yep.
You saw the second half of the season, other than Sam Reinhart, Kyle Postel was a different player.
He looked really good.
I can't explain Sam Reinhart's start. I can't.
No.
What I can explain is this team underachieved. They were done from the playoffs by December. And then they looked like a team again that was actually on a decent point play, a decent point pace.
I think to go back.
The first 2 months of that season, they were on pace to challenge the tank years.
They were on pace to challenge Colorado from the year before.
They were challenging the tank years based on their point production.
Yeah.
That just tells you how terrifyingly bad of a start it was.
Mm-hmm.
And again, just a reminder, and this is the only thing that I got bent out of shape for, has nothing to do with the president.
I think Mike just wants to see them hire a president of hockey operations. That's what he wants, a guy above. He wants a guy above Botro. That's what he thinks. That's why he talks about this stuff.
Guess what?
That's why he doesn't like the idea.
After the tank. We don't get what we want, Mike.
Yeah.
The reason is he
looks at teams like Toronto. He looks at teams like Chicago, like Pittsburgh. Chicago and Pittsburgh, who have how many Stanley Cups in the last 10 years?
Oh, hey, didn't they all tank?
They have a president of hockey operations.
Weren't they all terrible? Okay.
But that's what he sees. He sees the management team that those teams who have success have.
Look, I get that there was a rift caused by people willingly cheering for the team to lose.
Yeah.
And I get that. I understand that. And I was never, Frank, you know me long enough. I was never huge on that part.
You were never big.
I was never big on it.
Yeah.
However, and this is also before I was a professional in all this.
Yeah. We were all.
However, it happened. Yeah. I saw that roster and I thought, they're going to suck.
Yeah.
If they win, cool. If not, well, there's these two shiny objects at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
Might as well not care about what happens there. If they lose, I'm not going to get bent out of shape about it.
I think what Mike is missing out is that while the management team builds it, you still got to get the play. It's still the players that win.
Yeah.
You got to build the team. The players are going to win. You got to get the right players here.
Even Mike Harrington, upon the reaction of that Jerry Sullivan article, mm-hmm. Someone had tweeted at him, saying that, yeah, Eichel's totally overrated. And he even said, I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, he did.
I don't agree with that take.
Yeah.
Because have you seen the team around him?
Yeah.
And that is being hypocritical.
Yeah.
Because you're calling out the tank, which produced Eichel, and you don't want to call him overrated because you see that the team around him, which was built by Tim Murray and failed,
yep,
was bad.
Yep.
So guess what? You can't have it both ways there and not get called out on it.
Mm-hmm.
I do credit him, though, for saying, I'm not going to call him overrated.
Yeah, I credit him, too.
Yeah.
I saw that. I'm like,
again,
okay.
Everyone's got their opinions on things.
Yes.
And yes, when there's a bad opinion, people are going to get mad about it. But guess what? At the end of the day, we're probably going to say something that pisses people off, too.
I always say something that pisses people off.
I think that's me more than you.
Yeah.
But
you're also on the air more.
Well, that, and I mean, even in these podcasts, man.
Yeah, I know.
You're the one that kind of stops me from doing the rant thing.
It's true.
So, no, look.
Plus, with the stuff that we talked about with Darlene, too, how people don't want to draft him because of the suspension.
Like, yeah, no.
It's like, come on.
Listen, people have opinions, and sometimes bad opinions exist. The point, though, Frank, is this. Get mad about the right things. You have to it's recognizing that a columnist it's his job to get people talking, whether it's disingenuous or not, and that's fair.
Like I said, I think that's fair. I think as of right now, though, I got nothing to be mad at.
Well, you got it all out.
I got it out. Not even that. Like in realistically, like I wouldn't really care. I don't normally care about something like that. Something that we've been talking about for past 20 minutes, but at the same time, I just look at him, just like, come on, why? Because to me, everything's just right with me right now. Everything feels good.
Frank's at peace.
I'm at peace. I am. The Bills made the playoffs. They got their quarterback. Do I agree with their decision? No, but I'm willing to be wrong. I want to be wrong. I'm okay with this.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought Josh Rosen was a better option. However, I can be convinced that Josh Allen is the man. Okay, cool. I'm down for that. They got their guy. Great. Let's move on. Let's move on to training camp with the Bills. The Sabres, yes, was it an abysmal year? Of course.
It's over.
It's over. And they're getting the, they got the number one pick. Why should we be upset? They got the number one pick. That is something that everybody here has been complaining about for the past 3-4 years, was that they, this team was terrible and they could never get the number one pick because of it. People always say they got screwed out of Aaron Ekblad, they got screwed out of Connor McDavid, and they were gonna and everyone was assuming they were gonna get screwed out of Rasmus Dahlin.
By the way, we no longer can say that.
We no longer can say that.
We can no longer say, well, okay, no, we, I would never say it, but
people now
have to remember, we can't say that we never win anything.
Yeah.
We never win a lottery. Guess what?
They just did.
It happened.
They just did.
It freaking happened, and it's sweet.
Yeah. They're getting the best defenseman to come into the draft in potentially 40 years.
And while I'm not going to go that far.
I say potentially.
I know. But what I'm saying, though, is, and this was kind of one of the basis points of Sullivan's article, was this on the Sabres. You know,
yeah.
He said that Dahlin was overrated. I think that's what,
see?
Like, you know, like I, and look, when you are
does
nationally,
he have points to back it? Like, can he back that up?
I think the thing is when someone's nationally and generally, like internationally and generationally hyped up like this, mm-hmm. I don't think we've seen that before.
We've never. What was the closest we've seen? Ovechkin?
Well, probably Connor McDavid, probably.
Well, internationally.
Well, I mean, Ovechkin. Technically, international is Canada.
Well, we're talking like outside North America.
I would say this, though. You had a chance to watch Connor McDavid in person.
Yeah, we were...
In Buffalo.
We were all able to watch Connor McDavid pretty much any time we wanted to because he played in Erie.
Drive down
that's
to Erie.
That's a three-hour, not even a three-hour drive.
Yeah.
We could go down literally any time Erie was at home to go mm-hmm. watch them, yeah. to go watch him play. And a lot of people did.
Yeah.
A lot of people did. I went to one of their playoff games. It was awesome.
I might head down to Erie to check out the Sioux.
Yeah. Yeah, we got reasons for that. We could go to St. Catharines for that as well.
Yeah, see.
Niagara Ice Dogs.
Yeah, there's two different teams there. So. Yeah.
But Rasmus Dahlin, it's hard to watch him because he plays in Sweden.
But guess what? We got to see him in Buffalo.
We did get to see him in Buffalo. The World Juniors was
awesome.
And,
oh, hey, he was amazing in that tournament, too.
He was amazing. I think he was their best defenseman.
If Casey Millstedt didn't put Team USA on his back for most of the tournament, Dahlin wins tournament.
Didn't he win best defenseman?
Yes.
There you go.
Look.
There you go.
Middlestedt led the tournament in points. And not just that, he was the most entertaining factor of a Team USA group that, outside of its top six, was very underwhelming.
Besides the medals, which Sweden did win silver.
Which, again, he was
US
upset.
US won bronze.
And what? Yeah, wait, did they?
They did.
Oh,
they
forgot about that.
They did win bronze. Because okay. they destroyed the Czech Republic, I believe, in the bronze medal game.
All right.
But no, besides that, two future Sabres won major awards in that tournament.
Yeah.
Two future Sabres.
Yeah, no, this is big.
That's huge.
Yeah.
And what we've been talking about on how the Sabres need a youth movement, they need to get younger players here who can play.
It's coming.
It's coming.
Rasmus Asplund might put some...
Asplund's going to be in Rochester.
No, I know, but Asplund might have something to say in training camp about the bottom six.
Yeah. So you know who else will probably say something too? Cliff Poo.
There are players that
Victor Olofsson.
Yeah. There are players that are going to have something to say about the bottom six.
Yeah. You've got Brendan Gulley coming up. You've got Linus Ullmark coming up.
We talked about this back on the nightcap, Joe and I.
Yeah.
And we brought up a situation where Jake McCabe might not necessarily even be in the top six away.
Yeah, we were talking about it, too.
Because,
we talked
remember,
about it
Dahlin Risto, and then if you say Bogosian slash...
McCabe.
No, it was Bogosian slash Scandella.
Yeah.
And then you might have to kick out McCabe or Casey Nelson as a seven. Because then Gouley, McCabe, Nelson, and, well,
yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do there?
Yeah, there's definitely, now with Dahlin coming, there's definitely going to be a cluster of players for your top six. That's why, and we, you know, because we were talking about it too, potentially trading Jake McCabe, because he's got a good contract. You could get a forward for him who could potentially help maybe your
you
top
six. You might be able to bail
top,
out of a bad contract with
top
Seattle.
Nine. Yeah, definitely with that. I'm still going to stick with the point that I think they're going to keep him. I think they're going to go into the season with McCabe because you still want to see where he's at after recovering from a shoulder injury. And I wouldn't be surprised if they went into next season even with what they have, assuming, you know, no one is leaving, unless Bogosian gets bought out, which I don't really know what's going to happen. They might go into the season with 8 defensemen. They might. They might do that. And they're probably going to use at least the beginning of it to see where they are at with their players when you insert this superstar defenseman.
But remember what happened here. Brendan Gulley is a guy who's making that transition.
Yes.
Casey Nelson was signed to a one-way deal.
Yes.
They expect him to be there.
They expect Nelson to be there. So
carrying 8 defensemen seems unwise. Because we forget about someone even with Nathan Beaulieu. That name hadn't even been brought up.
Nathan Beaulieu, yeah.
But they still have Justin Faulk, Taylor Fadun. And
well, Faulk's a UFA.
Oh, okay. So they probably
Fadun
won't bring
you'll back. Have under contract.
They probably won't bring Faulk back.
No, I don't think so. I would assume any free agent defenseman they sign is going to be small contracts for two-way that are likely going to go to Rochester.
Yeah.
I would expect guys like Taylor Fadun. We know Will Borgen's going to be in Rochester.
Matt Tennyson played his way onto the opening day roster.
Matt Tennyson's going to be in Rochester.
I mean, come on. In preseason, the man did play his way onto the roster.
He did. To be fair, he did.
To be fair.
They got a couple other younger players in Devontae Stevens and Bryson Martin, but they're not really developing well. So if they're in Rochester, okay, they're probably going to be in the ECHL. And I'm looking at, though, they have 7 NHL defensemen, and they're going to get 8, and that 8th is going to be a big one.
All right, look.
This is why I also say if Jake McCabe is the one getting traded, I don't think it's going to be one that's going to be in the summer. I think it's going to be one that's going to happen after the season starts, maybe around December when they get a good idea of where they are at.
Could it be a preseason trade? Team wants to see him healthy, skate a couple games.
Preseason maybe as well.
Yeah, it could be a preseason deal. So, you want to see your guys healthy and see what's going on.
I would say
example, they see Bogosian's not ready and they say, we can't trade Jake McCabe.
Yeah.
So,
or Bogosian gets hurt again.
Yeah. No, there's ways to think about this. However,
there's a lot. That's why I say I think it's more probable and more and better, too, if you do it in the season, because that way you know where these, because once the season starts, you get guys going and you got a rotation for going in and out of the lineup, you're going to get a better idea of where these players are at and where they should be. And if they don't fit your model and they don't fit on your team, then like around December, which is when the Johansson for Seth Jones trade happens,
yeah,
you can make that trade. You can make a 1-for-1 in that time for a team that is looking for a defenseman and has a plethora of forwards.
Yes. Hey. It's been the Leftovers Podcast.
This has been.
I'm Derek Kramer.
I'm Frank Arcuri.
And thanks for listening, as always, on WGR550.com. And you know what? I'll say something a little silly here. Hey.
What's that?
Sully, Mike, you want to talk about it? Let's talk about it.
Yeah. I'd be open for it.
Let's do it. All right. But no, thank you, as always, for listening. And I mean, I doubt that they'll hear this. We're just the little guys. but thank you for listening. And you know what? Hockey is still stupid.
Hockey's fun.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. TNCs apply.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.